Hello, my friends. My name is Cheryl Spangler, and welcome back to Life in Northern Virginia, The Truth Room, where I tell you all the hidden behind-the-scenes stuff that I learn as a real estate professional for you who's buying, selling, renting, living in Northern Virginia. We're pulling back the curtain on something that most agents and buyers never talk about, developer secrets. We're going to decode how land developers actually spot prime land before it ever hits the market. And spoiler alert, it's not luck. It's not fairy dust. It is definitely not Zillow. And while I'm on, can I just do it like a side tangent for 1 second? Who is a developer? Do you know if you own a piece of land and you simply hire the right people to survey it, do the soil work, and build, you're a developer, okay? You don't need 30 years of experience. Okay, let's keep moving this, like, digress into a side tangent because people are like, I'm a developer. I am a developer. No, I am a developer. Anyway, if you're listening while driving past some random field, thinking, I wonder if that's for sale. If that's you, this episode is for you. The first part I want to talk about is the illusion of the perfect lot. Truth bomb. There is no such thing as a perfect lot. If the land looks too perfect, flat, cleared, ready to build, someone passed it on for a reason. That is not necessarily true. I want to debunk some of the content that I put out. That is not necessarily true that if someone is selling a piece of land and has surveyed soil work and it's beautiful, flat, whatever, that because they passed on what? Building on it, owning it, keeping it forever, that it's bad? That is not necessarily true. I will be my own like devil's advocate here. Because sometimes people want to have a piece of land, whether they've had it for a very long time, bought it as a group under tax auction, some kind of delinquent taxes, anything from someone off market. They will prepare it so that someone can actually build on it, and then they'll sell it for money. I mean, let's face it, you're either in it to own it, or you're in it to make money on it. So it's not necessarily true that if someone passes on it, it's a bad piece of land. It's just something they didn't want to take more money to develop and build. So if people fall in love with how a lot looks instead of what it can do, my job, actually, working with investors and people, investors, is only to look at what it can do. What's the zoning? What can they build? What can they not build? What can they subdivide? How many subdivide? Like, literally, it's what can it do? You'd be shocked how many buyers call me and say, Cheryl, I found this beautiful piece of land with a creek and a mountain view. And I'm like, okay, great. Now, can you flush a toilet there? And let me play my own devil's advocate for that. I have realized that I don't think there's a piece of land anywhere. Someone can challenge me on this. I don't think there's a piece of land anywhere that can't have a septic. Now that we have these new alternative septic systems, sure, you might find a builder who's anti-alternative septic, who says, that's terrible, don't buy a home with alternative, don't build with alternative, don't put in an alternative, because it's a treatment tank, because it's going to cost money. Okay, I'm saying I don't think there's a piece of land out there that can't be built on. Because there are alternative septic systems that you can put on the shittiest of land, literally. Here is what most people miss. Zoning rules, access. If you can't legally drive to it, you don't own much, okay? Because a lot of land I see come on the market, and you see these white lines around the land, and if you don't have a public road, an access road, an easement for a road, or a road, and you are landlocked, meaning you can only access your amazing looking lot by driving over someone else's land, then that's no fun. It's going to cause a lot of issues. You're going to have to deal with neighbors. You got easement issues. So anyway, if you can't legally drive to it, you don't own much. 3 is environmental reports. Wetlands, flood zones, soil issues. I would challenge the soil issue thing because even the hardest of clay and the worst of soil can have an alternative septic. However, you definitely want to look at the FEMA floodplain. All these are layers available to you to click and view within your local county's GIS map. And you can find that by just simply going to Google or ChatGPT, whichever your search engine, and typing in the county you live in, space, GIS, space, mapper. The county you live in, space, GIS, space, mapper. And there's one for every county. Okay, there you go. It's free. It's public. Except there is one county, Rappahannock County in Virginia, that for some reason they lock that down and they don't allow you to have it free and you got to pay for it. The difference between available and developable land is like the difference between dating and marrying. One looks good in pictures and the other you actually have to live with. I think dating is actually very, very much relatable to real estate in so many ways. And if you like those analogies, I will continue to throw them in on my end, my own personal experiences on how things relate like that. Okay. The second area, unmasking the developer mindset. You don't have to have extensive education to have a developer mindset. How do developers see what others don't? That's something that I think about all the time. We don't chase what's hot now. We chase what's going to be hot next. And that is something that I actually do talk about a lot. I throw that in a lot. Like, for example, once or many times on my social media, I've referenced how I do research on upcoming planning, upcoming county growth plan over the next 5 years. What does VDOT own right now? What is VDOT buying right now? What is VDOT holding right now? Meaning, VDOT actually buys a bunch of land in different areas and they take it sometimes through an eminent domain. They use it for construction sometimes to build other things, which are the things you want to know about coming down the pike. So sometimes I look at, like, what is VDOT buying? What is the county's 5-year development plan? What are their restructuring of their zones looking like? What service districts are having changes? Where are they putting in public water and sewer? Just all these things are popping in my mind right now. That is chasing what is going to be hot next. Okay, so what's happening right now in Northern Virginia is, where's there a data center going? That's controversial. Some people think that means it's not going to be hot. Some people think it's going to make your values better. So it's like, that's a personal, I don't know, there's just 50-50 controversy on that. My opinion is, where there's a data center, your values will go up. You can say what you want on that. But another example is studying the demographic and growth corridors. Like, if Starbucks is opening 3 miles down the road, guess what? The rooftops are opening. Developers study demographics and growth corridors is the easiest way to say it. If Starbucks is opening 3 miles down the road, guess what? The rooftops are coming. And the reason is because they spend millions of dollars researching where people are, where people going, and where they are wanting to go. So you can save some of your money and just kind of look at some of those things. Also, I use what I call the shadow land strategy. These are parcels sitting quietly near booming zones, not yet touched by big builders, but right in the path of progress. Another example, right now on Route 28 between Bristow, which is Prince William County, and Bealeton, which is Fauquier County, Route 28 runs all the way down that corridor. There is very, very positive talk. Not something completely signed yet. But I know it's coming. I know it's coming just from the growth. And I know it's coming just because the builders who are literally trying to buy up every piece of Midland, Virginia, which most people haven't even heard of, Route 28 between Bristow and Bealeton is going to expand beyond the current two-lane highway to a four-lane. And what they're going to do is, according to their community development notes, their five-year plan, they're going to take the right side of the road going all the way from Bristow down to Bealeton, which means anyone living on the right side is going to lose probably anywhere from 4 to 6 feet. But you're not going to lose it. You're going to be paid for them to take it. You're going to make money. So if you have road frontage, and today is November 1st, 2025, if you own land on Route 28 between Bristow and Bealeton, you're going to at some point get paid for those feet that they're going to need to take to expand that road. That's Shadowland strategy, an idea there for you to look at. You can find gold there if you know what to look for. And infrastructure, it's like a crystal ball. If the county's widening a road or adding a sewer line, the value is about to explode. It's like being the person who knows the concert lineup before the tickets go on sale. I could give you all these different analogies, but basically, developers go to boring meetings, county board, planning commission, public works, everyone else, eyes glaze over, and they're the ones taking notes like, oh, so the bypass road is going behind this property? Boom, future subdivision. And I can tell you right now how I keep up on some stuff. Of course, I physically go onto my computer and I look at and look at the future plans. But guess what you can do right now? You can actually set up a search in ChatGPT for something specific from the local public planning and zoning office. Specify what you want ChatGPT to search for, in what county, in what department. This is all public, meaning it can scrape it, find it, scour the internet for it. And it will, and then you can ask it to send you every morning at 7 o'clock, or let's just say every Friday at 3 o'clock, everything that has come up in the week on planning and zoning in, for example, Fauquier County, that you should know about regarding expansion of roads, developing of new land, changing of service districts, and stuff like that. You can just set your parameter of search, assign ChatGPT to do that search at a certain time and a certain day, and boom, it will literally send you an email on that day. That's what I do. I set up a lot of different searches. Sometimes it just comes up with nothing and says nothing was found this week. Sometimes I might realize that something did come up and it didn't notify me, so I'll change the search. But basically, how else am I keeping up with absolutely everything? Not absolutely everything, but everything that's important to me, that's important to my clients, I set up searches. This is a way I've just decided to use AI instead of hiring someone to go do those searches, because frankly, humans have way too many errors, more errors. Anyway, let's move on. The third area is the data detective. I love being a data detective. I'm going to teach you, share with you all the tools and tricks that I use, at least right now. Data is my best friend. I rarely give people my personal opinion about anything related to real estate. I simply show them the data because my opinion does not matter. Forget scrolling Zillow. Open your county's GIS map. We're going back to what I told you to Google. Open your county's GIS map. It's the closest thing to X-ray vision you can legally have. You will see parcel boundaries, zoning layers, topography, floodplains, and ownership. Pro tip, look for properties owned by LLCs that don't match any big builder name. That is often a developer or person, random one person that owns something, quietly land banking. And don't stop at Google Map. Check old permits, easements, liens. Sometimes a property's history will tell you why it's sitting. I will tell you that you can publicly search the county's permits. You can publicly, if you didn't know this, you can publicly go to the county portal, go to the county permit portal. Most every county has it. You can go to where all the permits, it's a database, and you can search an address, and you can come up with all the permits, whether someone has taken a building down, whether they have requested to do a boundary line adjustment, a lot merger, subdivision request, anything like a subdivision approval letter, which is something you need from the county before you can even know whether it can be divided, and then you move forward with the dividing. You can search any piece of land publicly on the local, in the local portal for permits for a county, and you can find out if that land has some kind of subdivision ability or literally anything you're looking for, to be honest. I once saw a perfect lot that had a 12-foot easement running dead center. It was basically a driveway for someone else's cows. And that was probably someone who owned a piece of land behind it, and it, theirs was landlocked, so they had an easement to access it in perpetuity, which means forever, okay, forever. So yeah, doing due diligence can save you a small fortune and a big headache. So the fourth, there's five areas. This fourth area is decoding the whisper network. Okay, this is my favorite part, the whisper network. This is the underground world of local intel, where the real deals happen before anyone else lists them. Developers talk to neighbors, landowners, the guy at the feed store, the clerk at the building office. You think I'm joking? In our case, they talk to the local Nick's Market and Deli. Some of the best leads came from random small talk in hardware store lines. If you want to play this game, build relationships with surveyors, soil testers, excavators, real estate agents. Yep, me too. We're not just the lowly. Who actually know land, okay? And they'll tell you who's thinking about selling, who's in over their head, who just inherited 20 acres they don't want to deal with. And once you know, approach them quietly. Don't show up in your I'm here to buy your land hat. You know, it's not HGTV. You're offering a solution, not sales pitchy, you know? And to say that the fourth area is a whisper network, it really just means stop thinking about yourself for 5 seconds and think about other people, meaning ask people questions. When you meet people, when you talk to people, do more listening than talking. Ask a question and then shut up and listen. Ask a question, shut up and listen. That's pretty much how I find out all the information I ever need to know. I simply ask questions and then I'm quiet. I let them talk. I let them talk and talk and ask another question. So I know it's like a novel concept, but it works. The fifth area of this whole podcast, and this is going way over what I expected, is for me to give you, my friends, your blueprint for land gold. I'm going to sum it up for you. Mindset, data, networking. Step one is to check your zoning and utilities. This means that you want to find out what the actual zoning is. Is it R1 residential 1? Is it RA residential agricultural? Is it C123, which is commercial? Is it something that can hold a faith-based building? I mean, whatever it is, like that's industrial. Find and check the zoning, and then just find out what that zoning allows in subdivision rules initially. While you're looking at the zoning, you're looking for restrictions, you're looking for overlay network. What I mean by that is sometimes it's a zoned, let's just say R1, okay, which In the local county I work in, it means one home per 1 acre. But there's some areas that have an overlay district, like an airport overlay district, if there's an airport nearby. Which means that, yes, you may be able to subdivide as, by right, one home per 1 acre, but you will have to also accommodate for this overlay, you know, district. So you just, like, check the zoning and check utilities. For example, another example, if I were to just look into the county, let's say, on a parcel that I'm working on right now, it says R1. I can subdivide I can put one home on 1 acre. So a 25-acre lot should be able to be subdivided 20 times. However, if you look at utilities, and utilities are not public, and they are water sewer, then they have rules that say if you subdivide more than 7 lots, even though the R1 says you can have one per acre, one home per acre, the secondary rule is you can't divide more than 7 times if there's no public water and sewer. So it's like, check the zoning, check the utility. That'll almost give you every answer you need, but then step 2 is verify access and easements. Are you landlocked? Are you on a public road? How much road frontage do you have? Because there are rules. Every county is different, but let's say an R1 zoning, you only need 135 feet of road frontage in order to parcel something off. If you have like a piece of land with a super narrow road frontage, but then it widens the land, parcel widens once you get into the land, but not at the road, you'll kind of be screwed because that means that you can't subdivide it where everyone has their own driveway and you have to do shared, everyone sharing a driveway, which means a major site plan, more money, more survey, more engineering, and ultimately it's going to be more time. Step 3 of this quick blueprint, number 1 was check zoning utilities, number 2 is verify access and easements, number 3 is review environmental and soil reports. Anyone can do this. You can go to the Virginia Health Department online and submit a request for the well and septic reports history in all of time that they have for that particular parcel number. And I do that probably 7 times a week, to be honest. Every single piece, every single parcel I'm interested in, I go to the health department and request soil work. I request well and septic or anything on file for that property. Or if a soil guy and you're trying to buy a piece of land has provided you a letter, then you could call and talk to them and say, okay, I see that you went out and perked this land, identified that it can have a septic system. Can you tell me how much that might cost? How many different septic systems this might be able to handle? Is it conventional? Is it alternative? I'm getting in the weeds because sometimes I don't on these podcasts, but I'd like to on this one because I think this detail is for someone who's really wanting to know. But if you review environmental and soil reports, sometimes you don't always get a full report. And just so you know, when you hire a soil person, for about $1,100, you will get a letter, an opinion letter, stating what yes or no it will handle a septic. Here is where I found it, and this is the type that I believe can go on it. But for more extensive work, $2,500, $3,000, $3,500, you will find someone actually follow through with the entire plan and package that can be submitted to the county, identifying every detail about the type of septic that will go on it. So one is an opinion letter and the other is the full-blown package. Okay, step 4 to the blueprint is study the area's growth and infrastructure plans. Personally, I do this 24/7. I think this is the key to most everything. But sometimes the growth plan is like 3, 4, 5 years away. So whatever you do now, doesn't matter how great the piece of land is. If the growth of the area is 3, 4, or 5 years away, it's really not going to make a difference for what you can make right now. Too much, unless you hold it. And then step 5 to the blueprint is connect locally. Connect with people locally. Think about people. Think about people outside of yourself. Don't be so focused on yourself. WIIFM is real. What's in it for me? People think like that all the time. You need to change it to WIIFY. What's in it for you? What's in it for someone else? ask them. The other day I had a conversation with a surveyor and I was like, how long have you been doing surveying? And just, you know, and he said 2 years. And I'm like, 2 years? Holy crap. I personally know that it takes a long time to become a surveyor. And I just mentioned this in one of my posts, barrier to entry is high. It's not something you can just quickly do. So it must be that he just now got what he needed. Well, no, he told me that he actually was a licensed surveyor since 2008 and just now decided to start his own business. And before that, he worked for someone else and he was an engineer. And basically, he's super educated and has tons of knowledge, even though he said 2 years, he has actually like 15, 20 years. So just get to know people, ask questions, think outside your box, and become relatable. So even if one of those things is missing, the location, the legal clarity, future demand, you have what you need to find gold in land. Here is your challenge after listening to this podcast, if you're still with me. Go on your county's GIS site, pick a random area outside of a major town, and find three parcels that fit the shadow land criteria. One of those could be your next hidden gem. And when you find it, tag me on Instagram or Threads at Cheryl Spangler Real Estate, all run together. I want to see what you uncovered. Remember, developers aren't magicians. They are just detectives. Or they have someone like me doing the detective work. And once you learn how to read the clues, you'll never look at a piece of land the same way again. Thanks for listening to Life in Northern Virginia. Let me know if you have a topic that you want me to dig into and do a podcast on.